You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Philadelphia Phillies with MLB.com's Phillies beat reporter, Todd Zielecki. Todd, as we talk right now, you are a few minutes away from a pretty significant media availability, and to some extent, one of the last really big pieces of this rebuild of the Phillies. They've done pretty much the extent of the roster overhaul, or at least transitioning out of the old roster. They had already brought in their new president. Still waiting to see who the manager is, but as of today, and still waiting to see who the new general manager is, but as of today, the last link to pre-rebuild Phillies has pretty much been removed. And there's a lot in here, because it's interesting, you know, 6-8 months ago, this seemed absolutely automatic. It seemed no way that Ruben Amaro would be part of the sort of next Phillies administration. And then Amaro had a pretty good year, made some really nice deals. The farm system's in good shape. And suddenly it was less obvious. So I think the first thing I would wonder is, what do you think was really the deciding factor in the end that led to them to decide that Amaro was not the guy to build the next contending championship Phillies team?
Well, I really think a couple things came into it. Number one, as you mentioned, Andy MacPhail is the incoming president. He's going to take over for Pat Gillick after the season, officially take over for Pat Gillick once the season is over in October. And I think quite often you see this all over baseball. A new president likes to have his own GM, his own guy working underneath him, just like a new GM likes to have his own guy as a manager quite often. So I think that played a big part of it. But two, I think in the end, as good of a job as Ruben did, since December was when he started to trade Jimmy Rollins and Marlon Byrd and Antonio Bastardo, I think they just could not, ownership and Andy could not get away from the fact that this team went from 102 wins, a franchise record, 102 wins in 2011, and continued to decline from there to the point where now they're on pace for about 100 losses and the number one draft pick in 2016. So you combine those things, you know, fan support was going down, you know, attendance was down. Fans clearly wanted to change. I talked to Pat Gillick last week, and he said that that would play a small factor in the decision-making process. So you kind of put all those things together, and I think that is why they decided to make this change. But I'll be honest with you, Matthew. I talked to some people here, and the longer that they waited to make this decision, I kind of said, well, maybe he does come back, because, like you just mentioned, he did. This farm system went from one of the worst in baseball about a year ago at this time to, you know, MLB Pipeline just ranked them number 7 in baseball. So they've been a really dramatic turnaround. For that reason, I thought there was a chance he could be back, but obviously that's not the case.
One thing we talked about separate from this podcast that I thought was very interesting, and I can't help wondering if it weighed into it. Pat Gillick is still the president of the Phillies, and the release lists Andy MacPhail incoming Phillies president. He's not actually holding that job yet. And I got to wonder to what extent there was an element of Pat Gillick. Never mind, obviously the next hire is going to be the incoming president, but I found myself wondering to what extent Pat Gillick, who worked a lot with Ruben Amaro, had a lot of success with him, part of the timing, part of why this waited was that Pat Gillick had no desire or interest to be the guy who got rid of somebody he worked closely with and had a lot of success with.
Yeah, I think that definitely is part of this. You know, I Pat, every time I've talked to him, you know, he said this to me multiple times. He's like, Ruben didn't get dumb overnight. You know, he guided us to the 2009 pennant, to the best record in baseball in 2010 and 2011. He made some very bold trades for Halliday and Lee and Pence and Oswalt, and he really went after it. And the fact of the matter is that until Gillick took over last August, you know, Ruben was under instructions to kind of keep this team going and try to keep this team together and try to keep this team winning. And I think Pat saw that as well, that he kind of maybe had his hands tied a little bit. And, you know, once once Pat said, listen, we are going to rebuild, Ruben kind of got to do what he wanted to do, which was trade away some of these veteran players and begin this youth movement. So Pat has had a front row seat from the time he took over from Ed Wade in 2005 through, you know, the August 31st waiver trade deadline, you know, when they traded Chase Utley. So he's seen Ruben. He's known what has gone on behind the scenes throughout this entire process. And I think that's why Pat was, you know, maybe kind of distancing himself a little bit, saying, hey, I think Ruben does a great job. But in the end, I think it was Andy McPhail, John Middleton, and the rest of ownership's call.
What kind of read do you have on what comes next? I mean, there's been a lot of, we're going to get modernized. We're going to use analytics more. But to some extent, that almost couldn't not be true because of the degree to which the Phillies resisted that. So there's a certain degree to which they could hire nearly anybody. They could have hired Dave Dombrowski and probably could still have said, we're going to be a more analytics-friendly organization. So I guess what I'm wondering is, just broadly and directionally, with the acknowledgement that it's sort of the beer or tacos, the answer, of course, is both. You have to scout. You have to use analytics. There's a certain degree to which you have to do all of that. Can you tell at this point, and the answer may not be much, what can you tell at this point about what they want directionally in a general manager? What do you think they're going to be looking for in the next person to sit in that chair?
Well, I definitely think when you go back to that press conference when they introduced Andy McPhail in June, John Milton, the Phillies owner, and Andy McPhail both kept hitting analytics is important. It's a very important part of us. John Milton says, you know, we need to become more advanced in that in terms of making our baseball decision making. So it would not surprise me at all if they went for one of those guys, because it's important to remember that Andy McPhail is team president, but John Milton, one of the Phillies' owners, said that he wants Andy to be concentrated mostly on baseball, like 75% of his job. He wants to be concentrated on the baseball operations part of this organization. So, you know, Andy is going to be very, very involved in the baseball decision-making process. So I think he's going to want a guy under him that's maybe well-versed in the analytics side of things. You know, they just, their computer systems, named SIL, I believe it just went online recently, or is close to going online. And so that's going to be a big, big push for the Phillies. And so, hey, you know what? I suppose they could go old school, but I think Andy McPhail is maybe old school enough for him that they might try to have a guy working underneath him be more one of these sabermetric-y, analytically based type of people.
To what extent are we focusing too much on the president and general manager? I think this gets talked about more, I think, maybe with football programs where the whole support system needs to be overhauled when somebody comes in. You know, you get a new head coach, but the new head coach sees that, oh, my goodness, there's all this stuff that's got to get modernized and fixed. Mm-hmm. To what extent do you think there's some of that going on with the Phillies that – sure, Andy McPhail is going to bring a new voice. Whoever the new GM is going to bring a new voice. They are going to get this computer system up and running. But to what extent is there a need just for a sort of modernization of a lot of the processes and a lot of the way they look at things within that organization?
Yeah, you know, that's going to be very, very interesting to me to see how this unfolds. You know, is it just going to be a new general manager and maybe, you know, a new assistant GM in a certain spot, or a new top scout in a certain spot, or are they going to make wholesale changes? You know, the argument definitely could be made that they need to make considerable changes. But in that same vein, I guess, you look at the way this organization has turned around in the last year. So, you know, a year ago at this time, I think everybody's going, they need to make complete changes from top to bottom. But now you're sitting there going, well, they have arguably the seventh best minor league system. So that means they've been drafting well the past couple of years. That means the player development seems to be going well. So in there, and the scouts are drafting the right players here, it seems like. And, you know, the trades that they've made for Rollins and Utley and Hamels and Papelbon, they seem to get pretty good returns on them. So the pro scouts seem to be doing a pretty good job. So there's a lot of kind of gray area in this now. So I don't know which way they're going to go. And to me, that's going to be the really fascinating part. You know, if they go for an older type of GM, or if they go for a really young, hotshot, analytically based GM, I guess it wouldn't totally stun me either way, or surprise me either way. But what are they going to do with the rest of these guys? Are they going to keep Scott Profrock and Joe Jordan, the farm director, and Benny Looper, the assistant GM, and Johnny Almaraz, who just became the amateur scouting director and just had his first draft? Are they going to keep all these guys, or are there going to be a slew of changes coming? That to me is going to be really fascinating to watch.
All right. Well, Todd Zielecki, thanks for taking some time to talk here in MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.